I want to tell you the story of a time back long ago when I was just a little tyke. My dad used to love to take me fishing. We lived out on a little river, and he would take me out, and we'd go fishing all the time. And I'm just going to be honest and real with you guys. I hated fishing. Hated it. Completely. We would go. I just never got the hang of it. I was very active as a young boy. I never sat still. I always was on the move. I always I was always doing things. And so what would end up happening is I never really figured out the point of fishing is to wait. And when I realized that the point of fishing is to wait, that made it the worst thing that I could ever do in life. And on top of that, I never really understood the fishing rod. I never got the point of it. The little button thing at the end of my Mickey Mouse reel, I have no idea. And everyone has tried to tell me how those things work to cast out of, but I have tried, even like in my adult years, I'm ashamed to say, I still have no idea how that little button thing on the back works. When do I press it? When do I let it go? I get confused, and the thing just ends up flinging around up at the top. So I hated it. I despised going fishing for that sole reason. So my dad would take my Mickey Mouse fishing rod, cast out for me, and hand it to me. And energetic, impatient little Kevin Zurica, would take that rod for my dad and reel it in really fast, as fast as I could. Because to me, it was a competition who could get a fish in the fastest. So I would reel it in really fast, and when there was no fish on the hook, I got a little frustrated. I'd hand it back to my dad. My dad would cast it out. He'd hand it to me. And I'd reel it back in as fast as I could, and I never caught anything, and it was so frustrating. And then I grow up a little bit. I go into middle school, and my middle school did a field trip to a park. And at the park, there was a stocked little pond that they had at the park that you could go fishing at. So everyone's like, oh, we're going to bring our fishing rods. And I'm like, I don't know how to use fishing rods. I hate fishing. And they're like, no, you can fish with us, hang out with us, it'll be cool, it'll be great. And I'm like, all right, I guess so. So on the way, we stop at a place in Pennsylvania, is where I grew up in Pittsburgh. Go Steelers. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and a big thing out there is Quaker Steak and Lube. And they have, it's a wing place, think of B-dubs, but better, okay? And we stopped there, the whole class stopped there on the way to go to this park to go and have a field trip. And we got, my buddies and I got a huge bucket of hot wings, right? Loved hot wings. Still love them to this day. I get wings like 3 times a week. So thank you for your offering. It's going to buy me. So we stopped and we got a bucket of wings and we went out and we were eating them on the bus and we stop and we go to the park and everyone's out there fishing or whatever. And I didn't bring a rod. So I'm just hanging out munching on some wings. And I'm like, you know what? I want to try fishing. So I didn't have a rod. So I just grabbed some fishing line, grabbed a hook from one of my buddies and I put it on the fishing line. And I didn't have any bait or anything. I literally had nothing. And all of my friends were being jerks and weren't giving me any of their, fancy stuff that they used to go fishing. Apparently that stuff costs money. And so I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I peeled off pieces of chicken wing, wrapped it around the hook, and I was like, good enough. Go out to the edge of the water, and they had a little, like it was a cement, and it dropped straight down. So I take my hook, and I just dip it in the water, and I'm just talking, hanging out. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get a jerk on this thing, and I yank this. I just had string, chicken wing, and a hook. And I yank that thing up, and I caught a little catfish right about this big. And I was like, ah! Ah! It was literally the first time I had ever caught anything. And then one of my friends, God bless him, said that, well, catfish will just bite anything, so it's not really important anyways. Gee, thanks. But I caught a fish, and I was so excited, and I was so happy. And I believe that today, God wants to encourage us to be fishers. To be fishers. There's this thing in the Bible, in Scripture, when it talks about fishing. It says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Four Gospels, three times it says, I will make you fishers of men. The fourth one says another connotation of the word. It says, I will make you catchers of men. And so I see in Scripture that there's this call that God's calling us to be fishers of men and fishers of men. And so many of us, sometimes we have the idea that because God has called us to be fishers of men, that every time we cast out into the waters, we're going to get something. Every time we throw that rod out and we reel it in, even we think there's going to be something on the end of the line. You're like little Kevin Zurica going fishing with his dad, throwing out the rod and being upset because nothing is being caught. But eventually, I believe that if you continue to fish, if you keep on fishing, if you just keep on fishing, eventually you'll catch something. God has called us to be fishers of men. So today we're going to talk about two different types of people, two different groups of people. Sammy, the Samaritan from Sychar, and the dumb disciples. You'll find out why in a few moments, why I call them the dumb disciples. But you can follow along. I'm going to read from the book of John, chapter 4. And 1 through 42, that's a lot of verses. But bear with me, I'm going to skip around. Some of you are familiar with the story. And so you can follow around in your Bibles. I'm going to skip around. I'm going to summarize some parts of it. You guys get the deal. That's a lot of text. So I don't want to bore you with just reading text. So we're going to start John chapter 4, verse 1. I need to pray again. Jesus, help me. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John. Sorry, I lost my place. But although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph, and the Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria. I like to call her Sammy just because Sammy the Samaritan from Sychar sounds fun. So Sammy came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? Let's just stop right there for a second. She and Jesus get into this weird kind of conversation about who she is, about why they're talking to each other. And Jesus kind of calls her out on some things, and he says, if you knew who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Verse 11, she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where would you get this water? They go on to have another conversation about wells and whose well is which and where worship is going to be. All this stuff. Jesus even calls her out on her sin at one point. He says, go call your husband and come here. Verse 17, the woman answers and says, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly that I have no husband, but you have actually had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. Jesus calling her out and saying, you're right, you don't have a husband, but I know that you do get around. She says at that point, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Really? So they have this conversation, and eventually the woman says to him in verse 25, I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called the Christ. When the one comes, he who will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came back and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, and yet no one said, what do you seek, or why do you speak with her? Let me just stop right there for a moment for clarification. In that culture, a man didn't speak to a woman without her husband or her father being present. Okay, especially if that man was Jewish and this woman was a Samaritan. In that culture, that's just the way things were back in that day. So just wanted to clarify, today's culture is a lot different than that. But this is why the disciples were wondering, why are they speaking together? So it goes on to say, at this point, the disciples came back. The woman left her water pot, verse 28, and went into the city and said to them, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said, I have food that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, they just didn't get it. They said, no one brought him food, did they? Who brought him food to eat? Go all the way down to verse 38. Jesus says, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Verse 39, from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all of the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. He stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. A few things I want to point out, and I want to contrast for you about this story. Some things that I believe that the Bible, that God is trying to tell us about reaching others, about being a fisher of men. And the first thing that I want to point out, and we're going to contrast Sammy, the Samaritan from Sychar, and the dumb disciples. So we're going to put a chart up there on the board. And I want to share with you that when we read through this scripture, we need to understand that sharing your faith, being a fisher of men, it's important to note that time is not an issue when fishing. When you're fishing, forget about time. Forget about time. See, we have the disciples and we have Sammy. Time, experience, and the result. Let's contrast these two for a moment. Let's look at the disciples. The disciples had constant contact with Jesus over an extended period of time. They walked with Jesus. They talked with him. They learned from him. They heard him teach. And then when we look at Sammy, Sammy had a 5-minute conversation with Jesus. Time is nothing. In the call to be a fisher of men, it doesn't matter whether you've been with Jesus your entire life, you've walked and talked and heard and seen and sat in church services your entire life, or if you've just had a 5-minute encounter. Time is nothing. Let's look at the experience that they had. They saw the disciples saw Jesus heal and deliver. They saw Jesus perform all types of miracles, and they knew that Jesus was someone who was special. Sammy saw Jesus as a prophet that could possibly be, maybe, the Messiah. How do we know she thought he might be the Messiah? When she went back to the town to talk to the community about who it is, her response to the community was, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. This is the Messiah. Could this be the Messiah? Is it? I don't know. There's a question mark at the end of her statement. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be? Is it? She wasn't even sure. She just knew that he was a prophet that might be the Messiah. Let's look at the results. The disciples didn't tell anyone about Jesus. They didn't bring one person out of that city to meet Jesus. Yet Sammy told her entire town about this man that she just met. When we compare the two, this is why I call them the dumb disciples, because in this moment, they just were missing everything. It says here in the Bible, they went into town to buy food. But then when Jesus is talking to them, verse 38, I mentioned it. It says, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. What is Jesus talking about there? It sounds like he's saying a lot of things. Reaping, labor, they, you. Here's what he's saying. I sent you into that town to reap for that which you did not labor, to bring out people that you didn't work for, that you didn't work to get them to the point where they could receive me. Others have worked. Others have prepared their hearts. Others have sown the seeds. And I sent you to reap that harvest. But you see, Jesus says, I send you to reap where you have not labored. Others have labored, and now you have entered into their labor. You have entered in. Now you're a laborer. I sent you to reap, but now you're just a laborer. You're just planting the seed. Because it's in that moment that Sammy was used to reap the harvest, to bring the town out to see Jesus. I look at this and I say, what's the difference? How do we contrast the two, Sammy and the disciples? Because the disciples had so much opportunity. They walked, they interacted with people. To buy food, you have to interact with people, especially now, I guess you can just go punch things in a computer. But back then you had to approach people, and there's a trade-off, a handoff of money and food, and there's talking and there's conversation and all this stuff happening. They had every opportunity to bring people back out to the well to meet the Savior of the world. Yet when they had that opportunity, they fell a little short. They missed it. But Sammy, after 5 minutes, most of the conversation, she wasn't even getting it until the end. But all it took was that 5 minute conversation, and she was used to bring her entire city out to see Jesus. A lot of times when we're faced with fish being a fisher of men, with evangelism, and we think, well, I don't know enough. I haven't been with Jesus long enough. I don't know things. This woman didn't even know who Jesus was. Her testimony was this. It was simple. It was very simple. Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Come see this man. Time is nothing when it comes to fishing. You can be out there all day casting out, fishing. You could be out there all day and never catch anything. And then here comes this little, junior hire with a string and some chicken wings and pops out a fish. See, I think the call is this, is that we need to be understanding and sensitive to say, we're going to fish every chance we get. We're going to fish every chance we get. We're going to cast out every opportunity that's there. If I have something so precious and so dear, and so the Savior of the world is right outside these doors, is right outside. If we could just come, the Savior of the world literally lives in me. So I want to do everything I can to fish and to tell other people about the Lord. And so we want to cast out. We want to continuously be fishing and fishing and fishing. I pray that we never get to the point where we become hard-hearted because we've been with Jesus for so long that we forget the need that's out there. I also hear this, reputations. Kevin, you don't know who I am. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know me. Yeah, you're right. I don't. But what I do know is God uses reputations and turns them into testimonies. God takes the reputation of who you used to be and he turns it into a testimony of who he is. God takes your testimony and flips it around. God can use the worst of reputations to bring glory to his name. The worst of reputations, God can use it to say, you know what? My glory is going to be revealed through this story, through this testimony, through these stories of the goodness and the greatness of God. Sammy was known as that woman in the town that slept around. Everyone knew her. Why did she go out to the well in the middle of the day when the sun was at its highest point, when it was the hottest, when no one else was out at the well? Most people went to get water early in the morning or late in the evening when the sun was down, when the sun was low, so that it was cool. She went out in the middle of the day. And when we look at that, we have to understand she probably went out in the middle of the day because she didn't want to be at that well when other women were at that well. She didn't want to face these other women who knew her reputation in the town. She didn't want to face these other women who knew who she was and knew her reputation. Her knowledge of Jesus was limited, but God used her testimony to bring the whole town out to meet Jesus. This woman had a 5-minute encounter with God. She still had issues that she was dealing with. Kevin, I still got issues. I still don't know if I'm at that point in my life where I can share the faith. She had 5 minutes with Jesus and was still known as the woman who slept around town, yet she brought her entire town to meet Jesus. Amen. All it takes is that 5 minute, just a small encounter with God, and it'll change everything. Your reputation doesn't matter. Who you used to be doesn't matter anymore. What matters is who God is and what he's done in your life to bring glory to his name. It doesn't matter if you've been in these chairs your whole life, or if today's your first time coming in here. God can use your story to impact a generation. God can use your story to impact your surroundings. God can use your story to change things and bring restoration and love into your family, restoration into your circumstances. God can use your story to bring someone hope. Maybe your story is about hope. God wants to use your story. No matter what the time is, no matter what your reputation is, God uses reputations to turn into testimonies. Right now, I want to call up just a couple of people. I want to call up a few people that were with us earlier today. And I want them to begin to share their story of what God has done in their life. Because who knows, maybe their story, their reputation turned into a testimony that could impact your life. Right now, if I could have Ella and Wallace to come up. This is Ella. I met her, and she was with us earlier this morning. Earlier this morning, we did how to share your story and your testimony in 2 minutes or less. And she is excited to share in 2 minutes her story of what God has done in her life. So let's hear it again for Ella.
Hi. I never really had life without Jesus. I grew up in the church, and it wasn't really my choice all the time. I was made to. But I didn't really understand the whole idea of God. And going to school, it was really hard because I could see people who didn't believe in God, and I could look at myself, and there wasn't really much of a difference, or they were cooler than me. And I didn't know why I had to follow this God who I had to follow certain guidelines, like I couldn't do certain things, or I couldn't say different words. And that was really, like, it made me question about things. And I also didn't really know the purpose in life, because I knew that there was an end in life, but I didn't really understand why I had to follow a God through that lifetime. And I remember going into sixth grade, and I went to convention, and during the worship time, I went to the altar, and we were singing Great Are You, Lord. And I remember crying and then raising my hands, and I understood why I should surrender my life and give my whole life to him. And ever since that day, I made sure that church was not just a Sunday thing, and I put it all into like the rest of the week, and I make sure that I put them in all my decisions and choices. But ever since that day, I also had hardships. I lost a couple of friends because of the fact that I believe in God, and decision making was also hard because not just putting my opinion, I had to also add his, and it was worth it because I know that he's with me during the hard times and he will rejoice with me during the happy times.
Thank you. Yeah, awesome. 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 Praise God. Praise God. And this is my friend Wallace here. Wallace, such an encouragement. I asked him if he would share his story with you guys. And so he's going to go ahead and share again in 2 minutes his testimony.
Good morning. I was kind of brought up in church. It was all routine and tradition. My father was a pastor, just going to spend drug to church. And I received Christ as a teenager. One of those moments when the Holy Spirit hit you and just seeing you to the front of to the altar with tears in your eyes and not really understanding what's going on, but over the years, drawing closer to Christ, being more obedient, getting to know him and discern the Holy Spirit. And early part of being saved, it was all about still about me being selfish and just making my decisions, doing my own thing. I remember getting out of high school, going into the military on my own will and making things just work, and it was perfect in my own mind. And after a few weeks, God made it known that that was not his will for me. It was disappointing, but I learned from it. It took me a while. First, it was the anger and the disappointment, but over the years, I've learned to listen to God's voice, learn to listen and be obedient to his Holy Spirit. Still a work, still working on me, but just not trying to force my own will and my own way to make things happen. And over the years, I've seen him work in relationships in my home and in my job. 2 years ago, I was laid off from my job, and he let me know that you will be made whole. And out of the hundreds of people that was laid off, no one could really understand why I wasn't worried, I wasn't concerned, there was no fear. And it was because the Holy Spirit, I was able to hear the Holy Spirit, and I just listened and believed in his words that basically he was going to take care of me, not to worry, he's going to take care of me. And it's nearly 2 years, not quite, but nearly 2 years later, and we're still going through stuff at my job where the job is closing, probably within a month or so. And my job as it was is no longer because I don't have any kids in my unit. I work at a training school. I don't have any kids in my unit, and I'm just there, which I like it. But it's just where everybody else is concerned about what's going on, I'm really not concerned. I'm just letting God just do his thing. And it actually gives me an opportunity to let other people know that they need to tap into to God too. You know, it's him doing his thing, and I believe in him. I believe in his promises, and I trust in his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Testimonies. God can use your story and God can use your reputation and turn it into a testimony, turn it into something that's great. I didn't know the two different testimonies. I didn't know either of them and their stories. But out of random chance, it was two people who grew up in the church but needed to know who God was. Needed to know who Jesus was to them. And maybe today, their story might hit home. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've grown up going to church, but I need to know like they know. I need to know like Ella and Wallace, who even though I might lose friends, I'm going to take Jesus seriously. Even though I face trials, I'm trusting and believing in God. God can take reputations and turn them into testimonies. But not just that, but God calls us all to be fishers of men, not just bringers of bread. The disciples' calling was this: follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They walked into town. They encountered people. They got what they came for, and they left. They brought nobody out to see the Savior. Sammy's calling: give me a drink. She asked questions. She became defensive. Then she became convicted of her sin and brought her entire town to see the Savior. God calls us to be fishers of men, not just bringers of bread. The disciples went into town and they brought back food for Jesus. They went into town and their calling was, I will make you fishers of men. In that moment, they were just bringers of bread. Sammy was, give me a drink. I'm thirsty. I'd like some water. And she knew that there was something special that she had to tell everyone else about. Instinctively, this call of being fishers of men, it isn't a matter of, is Jesus directly telling you to be a fisher of men? It doesn't even have to be said to you, but it's something innate that when you encounter Jesus in such a way that it just draws you to become a fisher of men. It draws you to go out and to tell others of the God, of this person, this Jesus who set you free, this Jesus who became so real, this Jesus who has done so much. Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? I want to tell you one other story. This happened just this past week. I went to dinner with a youth pastor, and afterwards I had to get gas. So I stopped at a gas station and I was pumping my gas, and there was a homeless man who came through, and he was asking a couple of the people if they had any change, and I didn't. I only had a quarter in my pocket. I said, hey man, I got a quarter, but what do you need? Are you hungry? You trying to get a drink or something? He goes, no, I want to get to the Burger King across the road and get a burger. And I was like, all right. I said, here's the deal. Let me finish pumping my gas. I'll meet you over there. I'll get you a meal. We'll sit down. We'll have a conversation. He said, awesome. Great. He went off and I pumped my gas and I pulled back around to the Burger King. And as I pulled into the Burger King, what I saw kind of shocked me. I saw a woman with her back up against the wall of the Burger King, outside of the Burger King. And there were a couple of guys like shaking her, grabbing her clothes, shaking her. And I could tell they were homeless. I could tell that they were most likely drug addicted. So I pull into the Burger King and I pull in and I park my car and I get out of my car and I go over and I say, hey, is she all right? What's going on? Is she okay? Is she overdosing? Do you need Narcan? They looked at me and they were shocked and they said, yeah, Narcan. Do you have Narcan? So I went into the Burger King. And I went to the front counter and I said, hey, there's a woman right outside. I think she's ODing. Do you guys have an emergency kit with Narcan in it? And this cashier just kind of looked at me and didn't know what to do. And he said, hold on one second. Slowly walked over to the side of and called back to the manager. And I said, where's your emergency kit? Like, do you have an emergency kit? And I'm trying to get their attention, trying to get the manager's attention. No one's paying attention. And I literally screamed at the guy. I wasn't showing the grace of God. But I screamed back at them. I said, minutes save lives. Do you have an emergency kit? And they weren't responding to me. So I pulled out my phone. I called 911. I got the emergency services out there. And they took her. She was fine. She was revived and everything. And they took her to the hospital. But the shock of that moment didn't come until afterwards. I'm standing outside. They just put her in the ambulance. And the police are there and the manager is there. And the manager of the Burger King is kind of just standing around and is like, yeah, well, I knew she was going to die today. It happens all the time. It's normal here. These drug addicts come in, they use our bathroom, they shoot up, and then they OD on our front step. And he's sitting there and he's talking to the police officers that were there, and the police officers are joking back with him. And he asked the police officers, he said, we're still number one, right? And I'm thinking, number one for what? And the police officers responded and said, no, actually, you guys moved down on the list. Number one is now over at the train station. That's where everyone goes to overdose. And I looked at this situation and it broke my heart. At first, I was frustrated. At first, I was angry. I was so angry. My brother was addicted to heroin for a couple of years. He's now four and a half years clean and sober, so that's amazing. But I was so angry at the point that I was so angry because I was like, what if that was my brother? And it wasn't until the next day I open up my Bible, I start reading the scriptures. And God just breaks my heart. Because he said, Kevin, how often have you passed by people on the streets who are spiritually dead? And you've become calloused to the sin in this world that you're just like that manager. How often in our lives do we walk past people? Have we become so comfortable with the sin epidemic in our world that it's just another one? And God broke my heart in that moment to say, God, I don't want to be like that Burger King manager that I was so infuriated with on a spiritual level. God, I don't want to go through my days and pass by people that I know are on a path towards death and just stand by. Have we become so comfortable that we're too callous to intervene? God's call to be a fisher of men is universal to everyone. There's not one person in this building that God hasn't called you to go and make disciples, to be a fisher of men. There's not one person in this building that is too young or too old to be used in evangelism. Today, we just had a few people share their two-minute testimonies. A few people share their testimony on what God is doing in their life. And today, I want us to do a little bit of a breakout session. We're going to take a moment, if you can. Like I said, I'm very active, so I don't like sitting for too long. And I hope you don't like sitting for too long either, because I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And everyone in here, I want you to pair up. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a long time, I want you to pair up. Okay? Stretch, pair up, get in pairs, groups of two. Find someone, anyone. And here's what I want us to do. We're going to put the two-minute testimony up on the board. It begins by telling your story. The woman at the well began her evangelistic journey by telling her story, a very simple story. Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Now, this might be a little uncomfortable for one or two of you. For a few of you, it might be a little uncomfortable because maybe you're in this place right now and you don't have a story of encountering Jesus. We're having that 5 minutes. We want to get to know you. We want to reach out to you and say, hey, we want you to be a part of our family. Whether you believe or not, you know what? We want to be your friend. So tell us your story. Let us know. It's 2 minutes. It's not long. Just tell us where you're from, what you're doing in life, what God is, what you might be, what brought you to the church today. Just share with us a little bit about your story. Now, it doesn't have to be, if you're not a believer in Jesus, you know what? Then just tell us what brought you here, who you are. We want to get to know you. And then the person that you're talking to is going to share their story. And who knows, maybe their story might touch a part of your story. And you might have a friend here. It's not that you might have a friend here, but you will. So we're going to put the next slide up. For those of you that were here in the early session, you've already gone through this and practiced a little bit. But what I want to do is I want us to begin to take notice of others and to share our story, because God can use your testimony, your story, your reputation, your time with Jesus, all of that, and turn it into a testimony of his greatness and his goodness. God can use it to impact a nation. God can use it to impact the person right next to you. Those of you that are believers that are in this place, your story might connect with this person that you've been sitting next to in ways that you don't even know. They might need to hear your story to make it through to the next day. If you haven't gone through this, if you weren't here with us this morning, this is kind of the layout, but we're just going to put a couple of minutes on the board. We're going to put just a few minutes, and you don't have to follow it exactly, but just tell your story. Tell us about these things and let us know. Begin to share your story, no matter how simple it might be. Remember, the woman at the well, her story was, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? And at the end of this account, the people say it's no longer just because of what you said, but it's because we've heard from God and believe. God can use your story to take people on a journey themselves.